Today we're going to talk about somebody, Stephen, who had no problem giving God all the glory, who had no problem giving God all the praise. Even if it resulted in his death, he had no problem in doing that. Today we're going to look at Acts chapter 6, starting at the 7th, 8th verse, continuing on from where we left off on last week, where we talked about the choosing and commissioning of the 7 deacons or servants to assist the apostles in the first 6 verses that you'll find in Acts chapter 6. So we will continue on from there because Stephen was one of those chosen. And we'll see today that he stayed true to his calling. And as a result of that, he got in trouble. Now, this was not the first time that the apostles had gotten in trouble in this book of Acts. But this was Stephen this time. And I just want to share this message with you because Stephen was somebody who stayed true to his mission and to his message, even until the end. And I pray that we as Christians, we are called to be different. And at times we feel like we want to compromise. But I encourage you to stay true to your mission. Stay true to your message. Stay true, for God will reward you for that. So the topic of today's message from Acts chapter 6 is encouragement to stay true to God's mission and his message. Encouragement to stay true to God's mission and his message. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me once again and just blessing us, Lord, once again for being here, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be the vessel for your message on today, Father. And I just pray that I can share this message with truthfulness and integrity, Father, the way you have given it to me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 So as we look at this message, we see that, again, Acts chapter 6 is all about those who were chosen to serve in order to give the apostles time to do what they needed to do best, study and prepare messages and take care of people, and the others were to help serve the people. So we know that Stephen was one of the ones chosen in Acts chapter 6. And as I shared last week, that this is the foundation for what we consider deacons in the church today, helpers for those who labor in ministry. So I want to skip down to the 7th verse in Acts chapter 6. This is after they were commissioned, that the apostles laid hands on the 7 that were chosen. And it says, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And, you know, things were going great in the church. The church was having growing pains, but God provided solutions for them of how to still maintain the connectivity with the people, the ministry of the people, and the taking care of the people. But you know what? In that 7th verse, it says, the word of God spread. The word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient in the faith. The church was on one accord. The church was doing what the church was supposed to do, spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ and care for his people. But you know what? When you set your mind on doing the right thing, when you set your mind on doing what God has called you to do, they will come interruptions in your life, interruptions that will try to derail you from your mission. There's that voice that tells you, you're not good enough to do this. You're not good enough to do this. You're not good enough to do that. Why are you doing this? There are more who are more qualified to do this. So why are you doing it? There are people in your life who will try to derail you from your mission that God has put you on. I pray that this message will serve as encouragement as we look at how Stephen handled this, full of grace and full of authority. Now, in this 8th verse of Acts chapter 6, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And now it's interesting as you look at this that Stephen has been one of the disciples called out to a greater level of service. And if we go back to the third verse, when they were beginning the selection process, it said, "Therefore, brethren, seek out among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom." So see, the qualifications were already there. So we know that when Stephen was chosen, he was already a person who had the Holy Spirit in him. He had a lot of wisdom. He had a good, great reputation among the people. So it's no surprise that God just blessed him and anointed him with gifts, did great wonders and miracles and signs among the people. So he was doing what he was supposed to do. This is the situation, but you know what? Whenever you have a situation, usually you have a problem. Amen? Usually you have a problem. Nehemiah had a problem. Jesus had a problem. Moses had a problem. All these men of faith who sought to do the right thing in the right way. Whenever they tried to do it right, somebody wanted to derail the mission. Let's look at the ninth verse. It said, "Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen." So here's what's happening. Stephen is just doing God's work. Stephen is going about taking care of God's people. He is sharing God's message through salvation, through Jesus Christ, redemption through Jesus Christ. And there are some who don't like it. And they were part of this synagogue called the Synagogue of the Freedmen. And it tells where they are from. These are members of a synagogue that were from Cyrenia. They were from Alexandria's and other places. They were from North Africa, in other words. They were from Asia and parts of Turkey. And they disputed with Stephen. They did not trust the teachings of Stephen. They did not agree with the teachings of Stephen. Why does this sound familiar? Because it's only a little while ago that the same thing happened to Jesus. They did not believe in the message of Jesus, that he came as the Son of God to bring redemption to everybody. And this is the message that Stephen was sharing. And these individuals did not like the message. And in verse 10, it tells us, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke," by which Stephen spoke. Let me break this down for us. What it's saying is that their wisdom, they could not debate with Stephen, because Stephen was smarter than they were. Stephen had more wisdom than they did. And plus, Stephen was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So think about it. He was full of faith. He was full of power. He was full of the anointing that they were not able to compete with the wisdom and spirit by which Stephen spoke. You know, when you can't compete honestly, sometimes you'll go covertly and try to change the situation. You will try to level the playing field. Have you ever had that happen to you, where you were full of faith, full of power, staying true to your mission, staying true to your message, and then somebody does not like it? Somebody is not agreeable to what you are doing. Somebody is worried that you are shaking the status quo. Somebody has a problem with it. These individuals had a problem with Stephen. So look at the 11th verse of Acts chapter 6. It says, "Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." You know, there are times in life when people cannot debate us honestly, when people cannot come or compete with us honestly, that they will create covert operations to try and get us out of the way. They will try to solicit assistance in secret to try to get us out of the way. That's what they did with Stephen. That's what they did with Jesus. That's what they did with the other apostles. They have these covert operations because they knew that they could not compete in the open with these individuals, these anointed people of God that God had placed on a mission and given a message. And they knew that they could not compete. My brothers and sisters, each one of us, we are saved. We have a mission. We have a message. We have our gifts. We are anointed. And I think that sometimes we sit on our gifts. We sit on our anointing because of what others are saying about us, because of what others are plotting against us, because Satan gets in our ear and disturbs us. But I want to encourage each and every one of you, and that's including myself, that as God is for us, who can be against us? So they secretly induced people to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Now, in my experience, what is done in the dark will come to light. Our job is just to hold out. Our job is to stay true to our mission. Our job is to stay true to our message and let God fix it for us. Amen? So anyway, Jesus was accused. Even Jesus was accused of blasphemy, which is speaking evil about God. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 26 and you look at, they had him, when they had accused Jesus of being blasphemous by saying in a roundabout way that he's the Son of God, that the church is going to be restored as a new church. It's not going to be what you're used to. It's not going to be what the status quo is. Now, here's the interesting thing is the children of Israel had prayed for so long for a deliverer, had prayed for so long for somebody to come deliver, to deliver them, that the problem was they were looking for deliverance in their own conceived package. They were not looking for Jesus. They were not looking for a savior from Nazareth. They were not looking for somebody like him. You know, there are people who have preconceived notions of what they're looking for when they work with us, when they interact with us. And quite often they're wrong because they're not open enough to really believe that God will send a person just at the time they need them to help them. They're looking for deliverance in another direction. How many times has that happened to us? Where we've been down, where we've been having problems, and somebody will just call, or somebody will just show up and talk to us at that time. Now, don't you know that is not an accident, but that is a God-ordained a get-together. That is a time when God knows that you are in need and need support from somebody else. There are times that we need help in staying true to our mission and true to our message, even in spite of controversial times and controversial subjects, as we see right here. So they were accusing Stephen of speaking evil against the words of Moses and the words of God, simply because they did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and had risen from the dead and was now with the Father. So in verse 12, they stirred up the people. If people can't debate you honestly, they will get others to be on their side, and they will lie if they have to. They stirred up the people. They agitated the people. They got people into a frenzy. Sometimes ordinary people who would not have done anything, but once people are lying on something, once the crowd is agitated, the crowd will do things that they would not ordinarily do. if they were in their right mind. Amen. They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon Stephen and seized him and brought him to the council, took him to the Sanhedrin, who were the religious council at that time that acted on behalf of the people. So they brought Stephen before the council. When you go to the council, you're on trial, but this is your opportunity to defend yourself. You can either plead guilty to the charges or you can defend yourself and suffer the consequences. So in the 13th verse of Acts chapter 6, it tells us that those who were against Stephen, they set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. Now, you know what? When you really look at this, this was a misinterpretation of what actually was said. You see, Jesus was confronted with this very same thing when he mentioned that in 3 days, you know, everything was going to be reset. He was talking about his ascension from the grave. He was talking about the everlasting life through him. He was talking about sitting on the right hand of the Father. He was talking about that everything so dear and near to them would be changed. He was not talking about physically destroying a temple. He was talking about reallocating the resources of the people in the temple to God's plan for salvation, knowing that the law, that through the law, people could not live up to the standard of God. There was a chasm between people and God. So he sent Jesus Christ as his son to fill that void, to be that bridge, so we all could have access to God through forgiveness and grace and mercy. That was the message. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth destroyed their thought process. He destroyed their belief system. He didn't really destroy it, but he reset it through the power that God had given him. He changed what they saw as customs. He changed to the truth. And in reality, Jesus was the fulfillment of the whole message from Moses, from Abraham on. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's message, but the people could not accept that. And in verse 15, and all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him. They stared at Stephen and saw his face as the face of an angel. There was a particular glow on his face. There was a shine on his face. At a time when most people before the court system, before the trial, would be worried. But he was confident. That's something else we get through the Holy Spirit, is we get confidence. Can't you imagine this angry crowd accusing you of speaking evil against God, whereas in reality, you are just speaking about the fulfillment of God's mission and God's message. Just imagine you're in this council chamber, and all these people are looking at you. They're angry. They're mad. They want to tear you apart. And they looked at him, and his face was as the face of an angel. That's the confidence that only comes through a relationship with God. That is the peace that only comes with knowing that you are secure through Jesus Christ. He sat there with the face of an angel, whereas the people expected him They get disturbed. They get agitated. They get ugly. They start crying. He sat there with the face of an angel. Have you ever been in a place, in a business meeting or somewhere else where you will be being accused of doing ugly deeds? Have your family ever risen against you and accused you of doing something that you really have not done? Have they cursed you out? What do? Do you retaliate? Or you just have the peace of God knowing that you are doing the right thing? Your heart is in the right place. Your spirit is in the right place. Do you get agitated? Or do you make them angry by sitting there with your face of an angel? Now, it's interesting. There's someplace else in scripture where we see this happening. I want to take us back to Exodus chapter 34 for a second. This was Moses. You remember he was in Mount Sinai with the tablets. And this is around the 29th verse. He had the tablets in his hands when he came down from the mountains. And Moses did not know that the skin on his face shone. Moses was full of the Holy Spirit. Moses had an anointing that only comes in the presence of God. And therefore, his face, his countenance was different. Think about it. This was the same thing that was happening to Stephen. Even in the midst of this trial, he was in the presence of God. He was in the presence and had the peace of God. They saw his face as a face of an angel. Now, we would think that that might be the end of this passage. We would think that maybe they would let Stephen go with a slap on his wrist, or maybe a beating, and told not to preach about this Jesus Christ anymore, as they had done to Peter and the other disciples earlier in the books of Acts in chapter 4. We would have thought this would have been the end of it. But no, this was only the beginning. Because when you stand accused of something, you get an opportunity to share your perspective. And that's what Stephen did. And time does not allow for us to go through what Stephen said, because it took him 57 verses in Acts chapter 7 to do it. But Stephen got up and he stood before the council and he went back to the beginning and gave them a Holy Ghost spiritual lesson of God's plan from beginning with Abraham, beginning with the patriarchs, beginning with in Egypt, beginning with Joseph and Moses. And he just went through, read that Acts chapter 7 sometime, the patriarchs and how God delivered Moses and how he did that and all that he did. And then eventually Israel rebelled against God. And then he talks about God's true tabernacle around the 44th verse of Acts chapter 7. And then Stephen concludes this boldly. I want to read from the 51st verse of Acts chapter 7. And this is still Stephen having his opportunity to share his perspective of what's going on. And he says, "You stiff-necked people and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." And it tells it that when they heard this, the council was mad. The agitated crowd was angrier than angry. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, in the 55th verse, looked into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That was it. This man was true to his mission. He was true to his message, but he made them angry. That was it. He said that he saw the heavens open up and saw Jesus sitting beside the Father, on the right hand of the Father. That was it. They couldn't take no more. When the crowd gets so angry that they can't take no more, they will resort to violence against you. And that's what they did. The 57th verse of Acts chapter 7, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now we're going to talk about him later. Just remember that name. Put a pin right there. That name, Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Think about it. This was a man who had an opportunity to deny that he was teaching blasphemy according to the standards of the religious officials of that day. He had an opportunity to get off lightly and preach another day. But no, he stayed true to his message. He stayed true to his mission, for what he knew that he had a place reserved for him. And therefore, no matter what man could do to him, he was still going to be okay. Yes, he gave up his life. Yes, he gave up his life, which is precious to us all. But in giving up his life, he met the Master face to face. He fell asleep. It is interesting, the choice of words. During homegoing services, we say that people have fallen asleep. They are not dead, as some people see death. They have just transitioned from this life to another life. Stephen had transitioned. Stephen has stayed true to his calling. Stephen was commissioned as a servant, and he stayed that way until the end. Kind of makes the challenges we go through not seem so bad, doesn't it? My encouragement to each and every one of us, when things sound bad, when they look bad, when evil comes before us, when family betrays us, when co-workers are disagreeable with us, remember who we are and whose we are, and stay true to our mission and stay true to our message. God bless you. God bless you.